Today's show is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment.
Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun for details.
Jesus is so gay for you, but are you gay for him? In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says,
"Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him."
That's nice, but does he buy you dinner first?
Bend over and get ready to spread the gospel with a special part two of our show with the best church of God, the only church that fills that dark hole inside you with Jesus' bright white love.
Join us for a very special men's retreat as brother Mike Dakota and ex-gay brother Andrew Ritter play more hilarious music and talk about the value of prayer.
Hot news, President Obama finally moves forward to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
New Italian tranny prisons.
Sex robots from New Jersey that Mike knows way too much about.
An Irish bookie takes odds on when Sarah Palin will quit her new job at Fox News.
And our condolences to the people of Haiti. Please keep them in your thoughts and ignore televangelist Pat Robertson, who blames the earthquake victims as cursed by a pact to the devil.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is brought to you by the generous support of listeners just like you.
If you like today's show, go to the iTunes Music Store and write a review. Your reviews mean the world to us. Better yet, show a friend how to subscribe to the podcast.
Tell them to go to iTunes, search Feast of Fun, and hit subscribe.
They are so nice. We had to have them back on twice. It's the best church of God. Today, we're bringing you a pinker side of the congregation with brother Andrew Ritter. And of course, from yesterday's show, Mike Dakota, the church organist, the great leader. He ditched the bitch and he made the switch. He's bringing his his best male friend over on today's Feast of Fun. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Super.
That's good to hear.
Andrew, now you have a special performance for us, just for the gay men who are listening to today's show.
That's not who I'm going to send it out to, but...
Who are you sending it out to?
Oh, it's... Well, actually, yes, it is for the gay men, because we're going to change them.
Okay, so you may not like this. So you're sort of gonna have a strong impact on their lives.
Absolutely.
Okay, well let's hear this.
I'm doing great now, but there was a time in my life when, I was lost. Like so many people who haven't found Jesus yet, I was living in New York, trying to make it as a singer or a choreographer, and I was doing a lot of sinning. You know, I was going out to the nightclubs and drinking all the drugs, and I think one night I just went a little too far because I was in a nightclub, and at one moment I was the dancing queen, and then the next thing I knew, I woke up, and I was in the middle of Central Park, and my pants were gone. And it was the most humiliating experience of my life. And while I was searching for my pants, I found Jesus. And so I wrote this song, and it's called "The Pants of the Lord." I was lost deep in the darkness of a forever yesterday, answering the questions of life with some tonic and Tanqueray. Naked I kept on searching for some jeans or some lavender cords. When I found deliverance inside the pants of the Lord, is no need for retribution. Jesus walks the path he preaches. His love will grip you firm and tight when you're sliding on his breeches. His message will rock your innermost parts, can never be ignored. There's always salvation inside the pants of the Lord.
What's up, my children?
What?
God here. Yeah, pretty cool that I decided to speak to you live like this. I hope that the next time you get dressed in the morning, you'll consider getting into my pants, my God pants. And there you will find the meaning of the Lord in a bigger and deeper way than you might have ever imagined. So get into my pants and feel the kind of giant love only Jesus can offer. Yeah, dog, feel it. These are some holy pants.
Each day I fill his divine cup with love and everlasting spunk. The jodhpurs I wear, they shake up my soul, leave me feeling pretty crunk. Once you wear your Jesus intention, all faith will be restored. Because you've put your whole self inside the pants of the Lord. In the pants, in the pants, in the pants, in the pants. In the pants of the Lord. In the pants, in the pants, in the pants, in the pants. In the pants of the Lord. In the pants, in the pants, in the pants, in the pants. In the pants of the Lord. In the pants, in the pants, in the pants, in the pants, in the pants of the Lord. And now you've got your whole hand down the pants of the
I guess I should be applauding.
I think that I'm offended by that song.
I kind of got turned on a little bit.
Thank you. Thank
Jesus.
You.
And I would like to take a moment to apologize to you guys. Your gay fan base is now converted.
Oh, no.
Our show's going to go down the tubes. I fear this may be the end of your podcast.
So it's right now, it's the best church of God, and they have converted you into all believers. Dun, dun, dun. So what does that make me exactly? Explain. Discuss.
That's between you and Jesus.
Now, actually, Andrew, I'm curious to know, what is your personal journey with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your journey into Jesus?
My journey into Jesus.
Yes.
Well, my personal journey from when I began, I was I grew up in the Presbyterian Church.
The P Church.
The PC.
Oh, the PC.
Oh. I don't get it.
It's a euphemism for politically correct.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 90s, people were very concerned about what they were saying because they're worried about offending people.
And Presbyterians are like that. They're very PC. Do they accept gay people in the congregations?
Actually, they're pretty open. Okay.
But liberal. The Best Church of God does not accept gay people, or do they?
No, don't even believe them.
No.
We don't think they exist.
Okay. So if a gay person goes to your service, what happens?
They'll be converted.
Into what?
They'll be converted.
Christians.
Into
human
good Christians or bad Christians.
Well, you're a Christian or you're not. If you're gay, you're not a Christian.
You'll go from being a human into being a Christian.
Right. Wait. Now, Christians are human, except for Jesus, who is a human but a God, but also
a
God and
a human.
He was a superhuman.
He had powers beyond his control.
Right.
What does that make like saints and what's a female saint? A saintess?
No, just a saint.
Oh, we don't believe in female saints.
Okay. Whoa, man. You guys are a bunch of homophobic bigots here.
Well, that's the Bible.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So tell us about your journey. So now you're gay for God? Is that how it is?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, you were
gay before.
Now you're gay for God.
Well, and now, oh, no, I'd just say I'm in love with God.
Well, what kind of gay were you? Were you you know, I'm going to hang out at the bathhouse all day, and or are you cruising the parks?
No, I was like a triple fisting kind of.
Triple fisting?
Yes, absolutely.
So you could get three fists up there now?
Yeah.
And so now that whole area is now filled by the Lord?
Absolutely.
And we should be clear that we're talking about Andrew's character, Matthew Leppin, who is who's the church's liturgical choreographer, and not Andrew Ritter, who's
a happily married dad. It's your Christian name in the congregation.
Right. His Christian alter ego.
Your name. Does that get confusing? Because you guys are sort of like very easily flowing in and out of these Christian names.
On days of shows, we sometimes have, I'm often in character a couple hours before performance and I just stay.
Wife finds entirely amusing.
So you can go to Steamworks and find Andrew there doing his research.
Yes. There's a lot of
it's
research.
It's very close to the Lakeshore Theater where you right perform.
There. Wait a second. So your real name is Andrew, but the character you play your Christian name is
Matthew Leppin.
Matthew Leppin, and you are the choir director?
The liturgical choreographer.
So you guys have liturgical dances?
We do interpretive dances of choice Bible passages.
Wow.
For instance, we did one of the story of Lot, which for those folks who haven't recently read their Genesis, is this wonderful story about a couple of angels who fly down into the town of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they basically, all the men, every single one of them, every man in the town is gay. And they want to gay rape these angels who come down. Now, angels are actually sexless and don't have holes, but they come down, they want to...
As it says in Barbarella, the movie, an angel cannot make love because an angel is love.
Correct. Tell that to the gay guys trying to fuck the angels.
Well, listen, you can't help yourself. Angels have the sweetest booty.
That's right.
It's heavenly.
Right. Right.
Literally.
But Lot is trying to protect these angels' angel virginity. And so the gay men of the town are, you know, burning the house down. And so Lot says, well, here, take my daughters. Take my two daughters and do them instead. So the angels are like, oh, okay. So they decide to burn the town down. And then Lot leaves. And Lot's two daughters go, well, you burned the town down. So there's no one left in the entire planet to procreate with. So Lot's two daughters get their dad drunk, do them in a cave, and both get pregnant by their dad.
Wow.
And that's the story of Lot, and we do it through dance.
So wow. According to the Christian Bible, all of humanity has a little bit of inbreeding in them.
Well, because of Adam and Eve, right. Yeah, that's the case. Right. Turns out, the punchline to the story of Lot is actually that, turns out, oops, there's another town less than a mile away. But
it's the way to break dance.
Sorry, Dad.
So is that like the first gay conversion then? It was these gay guys. Did they get to actually rape the daughters?
They were offered, but instead they were so hell-bent on gay raping these angels that they didn't take the daughters. So the whole town.
So they were gays that didn't want to be converted by these lovely rapes.
And they were smitten by God.
Smited.
Let that be a lesson to all you listeners out there.
what is the past participle of smite?
Smouted.
God smote them, right?
They were smat.
I think Andrew kind of enjoyed that a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to be converting him back. Come on, Andrew. Just rub your nipples.
So do you wear lycra?
Just touch something in your body.
Do you wear lycra for your liturgical dance?
Lycra?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. We have a full, it's a full spandex.
Unitard.
Oh, really?
Unitard, yeah.
So you have
a
nice outfit.
Unitards.
Oh, really? That's right on. Hot.
And dance belts.
The first time I saw liturgical dance, like I said before, I went to a Catholic school. The first one I went to was, in grade school was, it was moderate. And then I went to an all boys, which was very conservative. Then I went to a co-ed one, which was a little more liberal. And they had a liturgical dance, and it was a chick behind a screen, and they shined a light behind her. So all you saw was like her silhouette, because you don't want it to be too sexy.
Right.
Like a James Bond introduction.
Exactly.
And then she shoots the audience and blood comes out.
Well, that's important. Like I mean, all our liturgical dances are about bringing a little realism to these Bible stories that people don't fully grasp. And we did a liturgical dance for the for our Christmas show. Mm-hmm. So we did a liturgical dance reinterpretation of the story of the virgin birth. So we actually had Mary, this 13-year-old girl, on stage being raped by God, and then giving... Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then giving birth to the baby Jesus. So
this is kind of like too hot for Best Church of God.
Well, it's exactly hot enough for church.
Mike, can you give us some background music?
Sure. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Feast of Fun. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun for your free audiobook.
Ooh, that was nice. That's really that nice. Awesome. What kind of Christian-friendly audiobooks are there on audible.com?
Well, there's only one Christian-friendly book, and that's The Bible.
Let's go to audiblepodcast.com/now feast of fun, and we're going to search here. Let's see all the crazy people that do the Bible. So it's kind of interesting how many celebrities just type in Bible.
It's a good gig. If you're getting paid by the word, that is the book to read.
Is there a bigger book out there? I don't know if there is.
I'm sure there are, but they probably don't get recorded.
Yeah. Do you guys know who Jennifer Van Dyke is?
No, but I'd like
Gregory Peck.
Jennifer Van Dyke and Gregory Peck.
Yeah. Peck and Dick.
Peck and Dick.
Peck and Dick.
Together at last.
You said that James Earl Jones?
He definitely has one. I don't know if it's on Audible, but...
Let's take a look. Yep, it's there.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
James Earl Jones. I'll play it here. Hold on a second.
And God.
Star in the east, and I come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled.
Luke, I am your father.
Jesus, I am your father.
This is CNN. Simba, follow your tree.
I'm James Earl Jones, and I'm going to read to you about a hill of foreskins.
What would you do with a hill of foreskins?
Where do
swim
you begin?
In it.
Sledding.
Make a Leknes? I'd make some necklaces, right?
I just run around in it and wait for the mountain to grow.
Oy.
I want to find out who other celebrities are. You can go to audiblepodcast.com and find all the different kinds of celebrities that read the Bible.
What happens when you search Quran?
Oh, that's... How do you spell Quran?
K-O-R-A-N.
K-O-R-A-N.
Like, who reads the Quran?
The NSA shows up your door in 5 minutes.
Peter
Ganim. U-R-A-N.
Peter Ganim and Lloyd James... The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Quran.
Oh.
I bet that's not very friendly with the Middle East.
Oh,
you moron! Blow up the plane. What do you want to know? Oh, I pissed off somebody.
Oh, too soon.
I better have to hide like the Salman Rushdie.
Oh, I know.
Oh, God. A poor guy.
You know, but I haven't put out any books yet. I could be like Sarah Palin, put out a book on tape.
On tape.
People are
putting books on tape.
If she read her own book on tape.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the Howard Stern remixing that?
No.
Yeah.
Howard Stern remixed it. So she's like, I like Senator McCain's cock.
Shoved down my throat. I was eating his big brown anus.
That's great.
He farted on my face. I came several times.
I want a robot that sounds like that.
I came several times.
So do you decide to find the sexiest parts of the Bible and sort of illustrate them, have the come to life, ejaculate the love of God into the audience's face?
I mean, in all honesty, we scour the Bible for the passages that Christians are not aware of, that they forget or they've skimmed over, or the versions of these stories that you learn in Sunday school are nothing like the actual versions in the King James. And so a big part of our services are bringing to common awareness the stories and what the Bible actually says.
Yeah, we're constantly quoting directly from the Bible. And I think it's one of the strongest parts of the show because it just grounds it in absolute.
What's the craziest thing you guys have found? Besides the raping of your daughters.
Yeah, the raping of your daughters and the 13-year-old virgin being raped by God. All that's pretty incredulous. And the whole Jewish zombie thing, if you actually believe that, you know, a person who is God and at the same time is a person and somehow separate is then crucified and then comes back to life 3 days later and dies for all our sins. Well, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, I've got a good Deuteronomy one. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, he shall pay the girl's father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the girl, for he has violated her. They may never divorce.
Stop it. I'm getting a little turned on.
Oh, speaking of turned on, here's one you're going to like. This is from Ezekiel 23:1. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of horses.
Wow.
Thanks, like, King. That is not from the Bible.
Thank you, King James. I am all sweaty.
I hate to break the news to you guys, but Pavel Novotny did not show up. Our prayers went unanswered, empty. I might even dare to say that God does not exist, because I'm still waiting for my hot, hung Eastern European porn star to come walking.
Well, if you really need a porn star, you have to follow what the Bible sets out, which is like what King David did when he wanted to marry the king's daughter, which is he purchased the king's daughter for 200 Philistine foreskins.
Well, in this economy, how much is that in dollars?
Yeah, what does that go for?
Roughly the conversion rate, I think, is about 6 foreskins to the dollar.
Yeah. Oh, my.
So that's a lot of, you know.
Who sets that currency rate?
She was worth it.
What international government body sets that rate?
Well, you know, it's a good currency. It's a renewable resource, and it's consistent.
It's actually really good. I believe, isn't it used in makeup products as well? I've heard that sometimes discarded foreskins, there's a black market for them because they end up in female beauty products.
Snopes to the rescue. Let's see. Snopes.
It's like placentas, right? Like sheep placenta goes into, like, there used to be like hair products and things like that. I don't know.
But the Bible is...
I think they use that for stem cells. They harvest stem cells.
We don't need Snopes because the Associated Press.
Oh, really?
Human foreskins are big business for cosmetic companies.
See?
In the business of vanity, almost anything goes. Creams, lotions, cosmetics are reported to be made out of many things most people would be shocked, repulsed by. Fish scales and lipsticks, cow placenting and anti-aging products, crush female cochlean insects in shampoo, and yes... male human foreskins and face cream.
Well, that makes sense. You rub your face in it and your face tightens up.
Absolutely.
So probably I should take like Mark's sperm and just slather all over my face.
There was actually,
and that would be different from every day.
That's why we look so young. Gays look so young.
Well, somebody did a study. I'll have to look for it on the internet. And they actually did that. He put cum on his face every single day for like a month.
For that reason.
For that reason, to test it out. And
did
I think
it work?
He had somebody else do it. No, it had no effect.
Sounds very scientific.
Yeah, there's no effect. Why would it, you know?
Why is the makeup companies putting up foreskins in face creams if it doesn't work?
I don't know.
Sperm. Foreskin works. Sperm does not work.
Well, yeah, maybe foreskin. But the thing is,
stem cells, maybe? Is it stem cells?
I don't know.
Why would foreskins work at all? It's like,
they probably dry them and make them into like some kind of protein and then grind them up. Because how would you deliver that? Like, what would the delivery mechanism be?
Well, in the Bible, it was actually a hill. The Bible talks many times, I'm not even making this up, about a hill of foreskins. Which, you know, if you can imagine, you know, we all have that landfill on the south side of
Jewish
Chicago,
people,
it's a hill of foreskins.
When they conquered, Palestine, did they force everybody to get cut?
That was part of it. That's fascinating when you think about circumcision, which is a pretty standard, it's trendy. We all do it, or most of us do it, right? Even if you're not Christian, you're not Jewish, most people do still get circumcised.
In America, only.
Well, around the world.
Pretty much only in America.
But when you think about
Europe, no.
Like
South America,
Asia?
No. Asia, no.
But Europe? How is that?
No.
Russia?
And maybe the Russians are ahead of us on this one, but how is that not genital mutilation?
It is.
You know, we're all outraged by what happens with the little girls in Africa, but here we are slicing and dicing
That's completely different things, because when you do that in Africa, it's circumcision. It's not really circumcision on a girl. It's a clitoridectomy where they remove the clitoris, and it's often in under unsanitary conditions, often with like a broken piece of glass or something like that. So it's really, it's horrific.
Well, so when a doctor does it, it's all good.
Even on the women, but on men though, it's just, you're just getting rid of a little extra skin. And yes, it is mutilation. But certainly you can still have an orgasm, can't you?
Sure. But there's actually...
God knows I keep trying.
Because I don't think these girls... They can't, because they have lost that nerve.
Right. No, and it's terrible. But I think, you know, part of the origins, part of the historical origin of the of circumcision was to create a sense of shame in males, so that you feel shame in front of God. You feel shame about your sexuality. Dates back to the whole Adam and Eve, the tree of knowledge. Oops, now we are naked and we're supposed to be ashamed of that. So actually, when you're getting circumcised... historically what it's about is that every time you look at your dick, you should feel really ashamed.
And wasn't it also that we're imperfect too? Wasn't that part of it? That like, oh, how we come out is imperfect, so we need to
make ourselves more imperfect. I thought
God didn't
imperfect.
Make any doesn't make garbage, and God made me.
But how does looking down and like having your head exposed make you feel
Because you're supposed
ashamed?
To, because it's mutilation, because your genitalia has been mutilated and it's right. a scar and it's something
It doesn't
that's,
look like those hot uncut Eastern European porn stars. It's like, you know, Eastern European porn stars is like fresh baked bread. Everybody wants a slice.
I'm sensing a theme.
It's a theme of my life. Okay, so, well, I guess Pavel Novotny's not going to show up. So what is the value of prayer? I mean, why even bother to pray if you're not going to get what you're asking for?
Right. Yeah, I think it's a really, it's a valid question because prayer, especially in America, is just assumed that it's a positive thing. And even atheists are supposed to hands off on the prayer deal. Like, it's a valuable thing. And for me, I actually find prayer to be very negative because why should I sit on my ass and pray for something to happen when I could walk out the door and go make it happen or help to actually do something? It's the antithesis of actually making something happen and making a difference. And yet, people pray and pray and pray and pray, and people are sitting in homes right now across America, millions and millions and millions of people praying as this podcast and probably praying for this podcast.
I think my mother is.
Well, you know, let's really talk about what we're Eckhart Tolle's book, The Secret.
Oh boy, here it comes.
Because I think there are a lot of people and a lot of gay men and a lot of straight people out there that do believe that putting into your mind or thinking about something creates a more desirable outcome.
Sure.
And I do believe that, you know, that your mind is always working on solving problems. That's why sometimes you just need to like sleep on it. And the next day you're like, oh, that's how, you know, like when you're writing songs or trying to like figure out what to do with your life or creativity happens right. when you sleep.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, Schopenhauer, the idea of positive thought is really important, positive motivation. But the idea that I can pray for something and some other mystical sky god is going to come down and solve my problems for me, I find that to be very unhealthy.
But sometimes I think religion does do one thing well, is that create a metaphorical tricks.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's so cheap psychology.
It's cheap psychology, but it creates a trick, and you know, not everybody has access to everything, and so it's like if you can say, "Hey, if you pray to God," it's like the same thing as like thinking about something you want, and sometimes you can influence the outcome by the way you think about something.
Because certainly, you know, with this horrible earthquake that just happened in Haiti, at the time of this recording, we don't know how bad it has been or what's going on. But
the show's taped earlier time, not in front of a live audience.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, there are going to be people saying pray, pray, pray. And I think for a lot of people, it's going to be important because, you know, there's a horrible tragedy. They can't wrap their head around it. And they figure, hey, you know what? If I just say a prayer, I can move on with my life.
Well, praying is about coping with tragedy. Right. Asking, why do terrible things happen to good people?
But then some people pray, they're like, I've got to win that cheerleading competition. I got to win.
All prayers. Part of that, though, I think it depends on how you say it as well. Because if you're sort of giving your power over and saying, oh, this other thing is going to do it, as opposed to empowering yourself. So I guess maybe that's the difference between like, sort of what I think of as Christian prayer and sort of the Eckhart Tolle meditative.
The Oprah-esque.
Yes, the Oprah-esque, giving yourself a positive outlook that's going to actually put you into action and have you take care of it yourself as opposed to this other thing's going to...
Do you know what a lot of exercise fitness gurus used to, in the 90s, used to suggest is that when you're trying to lose weight or get into shape, it's to lie in your bed and imagine your body the way you want it to look. And because it was like subconsciously, or it was trying to train your brain into thinking to make healthier decisions. And Mark, you quit smoking.
I did.
In a form by praying, in a sense.
I wouldn't say it was by praying.
Well, talk about that really quick.
Well, I mean, I listened to a book on tape.
But it's in a sense, it's Audible. About meditating and putting you in a trance and about like being mindful about the desire.
Yeah, it's about being mindful. I don't know if it's necessarily about being a trance, and I don't think I was brainwashing myself. But
you said it was.
I never said it was like
you
brainwashing.
You said it on the show. I can play you back the clip.
Please. I said other people call it brainwashing, and I just said, well, it's not really brainwashing. It just gets you thinking a different way. And once you get to that point where you think, well, I can just quit smoking because the only reason I smoke is because I smoke. And once you kind of put those pieces together, it kind of clicks.
So you guys actually have a song for...
Yeah, so the song actually comes from this idea that there's so much prayer happening and so many prayers that clearly cancel each other out or you know, two football teams and both, you know, all the quarterbacks are all praying for their football team and only one's going to win. Or, you know, there's just so much prayer happening all the time that if anyone actually stopped and thought about what a God could do with all those prayers every single day and what really might happen in the world of prayer, they'd come to an interesting conclusion, which is where the song comes from.
There are 2 billion Christians under the blazing sun. God hears the prayers of every single one. Your prayer counts, everything you say, 'cause God has the time to hear them all every blessed day. If every single Christian prayed just once a week, that's 2 billion prayers from the humble and the meek. If each prayer takes 1 second to be asked and heard, that's 33 million minutes all filled with a prayerful word. Thank God that God is everywhere and he can multitask, 'cause God's to-do list is loaded to the last. Give the Almighty a little breathing room. He'll get to your prayers relatively soon. Wow, 33 million prayers a week times 52 weeks a year, that's 1.2 million days of continuous prayer, and God hears them all because God is the best. I mean, think about it this way. At this rate, if God were to wipe away all the backlog of prayers generated since the dawn of time, and you were to pray right now, your prayer would be heard and answered by the year of our Lord, 5,295.
If you think that God's only for you, assuming that he cares not for the Muslim or the Jews,
which we know he doesn't, by the way.
But if their prayers counted, everything they say, God has the time
for all 6 billion of them
every single day. Everywhere, and he can multitask, 'cause God's to-do list is loaded to the last. So give the Lord a shout out, he's one hell of a guy.
He'll be answering all your prayers.
Each and every single prayer
is answered with his love and care.
Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus.
Just maybe not before you die.
Andrew Ritter and Mike Dakota, they are from the Best Church of God, and they are gay for God.
Gay as in happy. Thank you.
Yes. And enthusiastic.
Yes.
Very enthusiastic for their religion. And they're hoping to make you a believer every Sunday here in Chicago at the Lakeshore Theater starting February 7th.
And that'll actually be the first Sunday of every month starting in February.
Oh, just I'm once sorry. A month.
Not every Sunday. Although eventually.
It's not every Sunday?
Although you can find us every Sunday online at bestchurchofgod.org.
And you guys are on Twitter.
We are on Twitter, which you and you can find us every single day on Twitter. I think we got some of the best tweets going. So
who's doing the tweets?
Us.
Are you doing them?
The whole ensemble actually writes and generates the tweets.
To them.
Yeah, so you're gonna get Bible quotes. You're gonna get good inspirational Christian sayings, and we do respond if you want to DM us or at Best Church of God us. We will reply.
Will you follow me? Please. I'm ever so funny and creative and charming.
And we are following Feast of Fun, so.
Mm. Oh, great. You know, but you also have to follow Fausto Furnos and Mark Phelan, too.
Yeah. I'll follow you guys.
I think we are on Facebook, yeah.
And insults.
We're Facebook friends.
And insults, too.
And yeah. Shirley Phelps is in there. In that
Megan Phelps. Shirley Phelps isn't on, but Megan Phelps is.
Shirley's down. Is a Facebooker.
She's a Facebooker, but Megan Phelps is on Twitter, and she responds to everything. Ooh, she's a real character. And this Sunday here, you guys are going to be at the theater building as part of Sketchfest.
Sketchfest, the biggest sketch comedy festival in the country. And we will be there saving the poor heathen comedian sinners during Sketchfest. We're going to be there bringing our services to convert the satirical masses for Jesus. And we're actually going to be protesting
the
Friday
entire
night.
Festival. Yeah, we're going to protest the comedy festival.
We'll have our picket outside, signs outside on a Friday
comedy
night.
Comedy is sin, satire is sin.
And people will believe it.
People.
Yeah, actually, we did it last year. We absolutely... This was great, actually. We did it last year, and literally a van of Christian kids pulled up to the comedy festival, like as if they were sent from God to us because they knew we were there. And yeah, this like van marked, we're really Christian.
for reals.
And they all got out and we were there protesting and they didn't know what to make of us. And
did they were like, well, I think some comedy's okay. Or yeah. Did they try and talk to you? Or were they like, I agree, comedy's not good.
We
not funny.
We had a lot of people try to argue with us. Mm-hmm. And there were some people also that absolutely had no clue that we were being satirical
like,
the entire time.
Joke, yeah.
What about Jeff Dunham? Is he okay with the Christians?
Who's Jeff Dunham?
He's the puppeteer who does the terrorist puppet and the racist white gorilla.
The what?
Named Peanut.
Know. I don't know him.
He was big in Las Vegas and his show got canceled on Comedy Central. We talked about it on our own show.
Are you talking the insult dog?
No, Jeff Dunham.
Oh, I just pretended like I knew who he was then.
Oh.
I would imagine he's not okay in the eyes of God, because God should be the only puppeteer. You know, he should be the only one pulling the strings. So
what
I would
about
imagine...
Jeff Foxworthy? You might be a Christian if...
Now God, we all know Jesus loves the rednecks, so I think he's probably all right.
Now, is there a Christian comic, like somebody that bills themselves as a Christian comic?
There's a lot.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a whole circuit. Actually, my old roommate in college used to be a Christian comic. He was a Jesuit, and he would go around doing stand-up.
What does a joke for a Christian comic even sound like?
Think of the least funny thing you can imagine.
Hey. It's like a Jew, a Polak, like, oh, whatever. I don't know.
Did you hear the one jokes. About the jihadist?
Yeah. It was explosive.
Oh.
There's the thing about, you know, it's like we have friends who like to purposefully have sex with guys who are terrorists.
Well, and they're Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern, or may or may not be terrorists. You know, they're like,
but probably are.
Yeah, probably are. And I said, why are you so into having sex with these terrorists? It's like, because when you're sucking on their dicks, you don't know when they're going to explode in your mouth.
Wow. It's all in the timing.
Okay, yeah. Here is the news. The sex robot, there's a company in New Jersey. That's where the good sex robots happen. All the good stuff happens in Jersey, and they're introducing the world's first sex robot.
Now, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I actually read up on this,
yes.
Independent of this fine program.
Because
I might be replacing Erica soon.
After Fausto's bitch comment at the top of the program, I'm going home to an empty house. No.
She's like, you try to sleep on the sofa tonight.
The craziest thing about this this robot, from what I understand, is it's not about, you know, having gooey holes and all that. It's actually, it's supposed to be this, like, psychological robot. Mm-hmm. It's like a speak and spell robot that, like,
really?
you talk to it, and it talks to you. So it's supposed to be, the guy who invented it is like, I didn't really want this to be a sex robot. I wanted this to be a companion. I imagine like giving it to old people and people who have lost, like, you know, husbands and wives and stuff. He's like, but the only people that will fund it is the sex industry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it, when you squeeze the dark-haired negligee-clad robot, she says,
I love holding hands with you.
That's pretty good.
It really gets my boner on, you know.
I don't know. It's so crazy. Like, I've seen, like, AI, you know, which is that cute little story about that little boy who wants to become real. And, I mean, I'd screw Jude Law, who's that sex robot.
I thought you were revealing yourself as a pedophile.
No.
Because, you know, that's
I wonder
what,
if that kid's going to grow up cute or not, though. I don't think so.
Joel Haley Osment? Yeah. He's a little, he's a Barney Rubble kind of gay.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's short and muscular now.
He's all gay. Right.
Well... actor-y gay, you know.
Gotcha.
He likes people. He's a people person. He's enthusiastic, and he smiles all the time. You know, he's joyful. But yeah, I guess that. So they're calling her the Rocks with three X's. Roxy.
The Rocks.
The Roxy.
The Roxy.
R O X X X Y. Really? Oh, that's confusing because that's
like... I worked
like...
at a bar called Rocks and it was spelled with, I think, three X's. Two X's because the owner liked to smoke rocks of cocaine.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and then there's Roxy Bellows, who I'm sure you guys have had on, right?
Oh, from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't know who's Roxy.
Really?
What
the hell is that?
Oh, no kidding. Pat Musker, she does the she does cabaret all the time over at Hamburger Mary's, and
no,
she does those improvised...
Wow. She must be a loser.
You should book her.
Is.
She's wonderful.
I don't know who she is.
I've never heard of her in my entire life.
I just gave her a big plug.
I thought you meant Roxy from like Chicago.
Roxy Bellows. I'm the cabaret singer. You can find me in restaurants while people are eating. They listen to my music.
She does all made up. It's all made up on the spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's real funny.
I'll catch her accent.
I like that chick who fell down the stairs during Bertha Mason's show.
Oh,
God, who was that?
I forgot what her name was. She's in Schadenfreude. Or fraud.
Schadenfreude.
And she did a commercial, or she did an impersonation of Judy Bart Topinka that was stolen by somebody that's running against Judy Bart. It's kind of complicated.
Politically.
There's a guy, yeah, because they did a video, they put it on YouTube, right? And so like, haha, it's Judy Bart Topinka. Well, this one politician actually took that and were like, look, people make fun of Judy Bart Topinka. You should vote for me. It's really crazy.
Wow.
And so like now Schadenfreude is...
that's all you've got.
Yeah. And Schadenfreude's like, if you're going to steal our shit, you know, use the good parts of it at least. Not just that. But whoever played her, she's the one that fell down the steps.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Yeah. She did it. She made it very funny.
Yeah.
As we watched in horror and the ambulance came.
And oh, God. She's all she bruised and battered.
She never came back to the... She did,
yeah,
no,
she
had
actually had to retire from comedy after that.
She might need a sex robot to console her.
Absolutely.
You will get better soon. I'm going to fix your head.
That seems like that would sell very... Like, if you were going to have... That sounds like it would sell very well in Japan, I would imagine.
Well, the robot itself is made in Japan.
Oh, it is? Right.
Yeah, the dude in New Jersey just, like, recorded... He just made the laptop that goes with the... I did a lot of research into this.
I think
this.
You're going to be
really are. You really are thinking about it.
They're only like $4,000. It's completely in my
Erica,
budget.
Erica, you better watch your back.
But she doesn't
Mike's
like move
looking,
around the apartment or anything, right?
No. I mean, it's no, like, she doesn't. Well, the craziest thing
it's
is this.
Pretty much it's a doll that speaks, right?
And the weirdest thing about this is it's completely biblically approved.
What do you
why?
Mean?
Well, let me tell you. Here it
what
comes.
What are you talking about?
Well,
I love how you bring the Bible into everything.
It's my job. it's my job that I don't get paid for. It's because menstruation is bad in the Bible, all over the place. Right? It's what makes women unclean. And the second part is that women are supposed to be silent. They're not supposed to be educated. They must remain silent in the churches. So if you've got this robot that knows when to shut up and doesn't bleed all over the place, you've got, like, the ideal Christian woman.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the photo of Roxy with triple X. She looks a little bit like Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh.
If only the father would have had that, then
but who would
she'd
he have done
fine.
Drugs with then? Roxy can't
you
do
can
drugs.
You can give drugs to a robot.
Oh, what's going to happen to her speak and spell then?
She'd be like...
It gets really high.
Did you guys ever have sisters as kids that had those dolls that you could feed it, like, puree.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know?
Yeah.
And they came in yellow banana.
Yeah, I think I might have had one.
Green for lime and red for strawberries. And the idea is to mix the color so it came out brown.
Wasn't it like the Oopsie doll or something like that? That like pees
Oopsie
and you'd have
Oopsie
to and you'd have to like change his diaper.
Yeah, and the doll like had this motor and was chewing the food. And I was like, I was so mesmerized by it.
You had a lot of toys that ate things. You had that goat
toy.
We
love Gobbles the Goat. I still want one. If anybody wants to buy me one on eBay, my birthday is coming in April.
Mm-hmm.
April 16th. Or is it first? No one knows what my real birthday is. So Obama is moving forward with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
That's what the Democrats say. They say they're finally going to get rid of it.
The weird thing is that it has nothing to do with the military and just everything to do with his policies. You can't ask and he won't tell you.
That's true.
I'm sorry, Obama. I love you.
What does moving forward, like Guantanamo Bay a year ago, he said we're moving forward with this right away and it still hasn't happened?
Now, both of you guys vote. It strike me as... disillusion people who voted for Obama in the last election.
Oh, don't get Andrew
true
into
or
this.
Not, right?
Not true.
True for me.
I voted for Cynthia McKinney.
Who the hell? Oh, so you're independent. I'm like, who the what? Who the was is she?
Are you registered in Chicago?
I am, yeah.
Like that even counted.
Yeah, you threw away your
vote. Throw it away to who?
Cynthia
Give
McKinney.
Give her a plug if you voted for her for president.
Who the hell is she?
She was running for the... See, now isn't that a problem that you don't even know who was running for president for the Green Party?
Oh, now Andrew gets it.
It's not like the Green Party is just this who knows... No,
they just sit around and smoke pot.
She used to be in the House of Representatives as well for the Democrats in Georgia.
Yeah.
But then she realized that that was no good and she came to the right side.
So she's like, I'm going to go to a successful party, the Green Party.
Yes, exactly.
I get to wear green all day and
I'd like to see this
shit.
Country be like most countries in the world and have multiple party systems. Why have one? You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. We have one right now.
One. I noticed I was like, I'm not sure which one it is, but
well,
it was
exactly.
just one.
It's a
sure.
two-headed monster.
I know. And so Joe Lieberman.
Oh, God.
Yes.
He's, if that's what independent means, glee.
Oh.
Yeah, where's my slide list?
Speaking of politicians, there's a bookie in Ireland that's taking bets on how long Sarah Palin is going to last as a Fox commentator.
And she quit already.
No, she didn't.
But by the time this airs, she probably will have.
He's betting that she'll probably be quitting by September 1st of 2010.
Just in time to run for the presidency.
She's like, Sarah, you have to form sentences and talk about topics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, she don't. Just say speaking points. Just one right after another, like a machine gun. Whatever you can think of. Top of your head.
I'm curious, because you guys are all comedians here. I want to hear your best Sarah Palin impersonation.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Can you give it to me? Just try. Even the worst. Okay, Mike.
They're not women.
Fausto, English and papers are things... people see house and wink wink.
Okay, Andrew.
Yeah, Fox News. We're going to be talking on it.
Mark.
Oh, you betcha right there. Yeah, have some lemon bars.
And mine is, I can see Russia from my vagina. Because, you know, anything's funnier with a little vagina in it.
Yeah,
it's true. Uh-oh, Devin Green. So Devin Green has a... have you guys... we got a Twitter message here. I'm so sorry. I've been ignoring them.
You have.
J. Saint Dynamite X. Girl, you got to get a short Twitter thing. Is asking, are you guys going to be bringing Betty Bowers to the Best Church of God, Devin Green?
You guys
That's a challenge.
You know, I think we talked about that in the first Best Church of God podcast, and we would love to.
She might be coming in through the Midwest with her husband, Joel Bryant.
Ooh, maybe
I'll set you guys
something.
Up a little,
someone's,
little date.
Yeah, someone's got to introduce us.
I'll give you her phone number.
I
give celebrities phone numbers away. They love that.
Just say it on the air. Then we'll have
Devin
it in
writing. Devin Green's phone number is area code
302-495-2857.
Please call her late at night and breathe real heavy. She loves that. And if you ever see her in person, ask her for money. She's rich. She likes usually $200, $300. Goes a long way. Sarah Fina, what are you guys' thoughts on climate change linked to gay marriage, according to the Pope?
Oh, it's no.
What's the link?
Yeah, the Pope is saying that the climate change is happening to punish Earth because people of Earth are starting to embrace the idea of
there's actually a direct correlation. This can be scientifically proven with the recent outbreak of gayness that's been happening the last, 30, 40, 50 years. There's a lot more
it coincides
gays,
exactly with how the temperature has been
right,
rising.
Because the gays are all going to hell. And as there are more souls being burned in hell, that boils up, and the temperature boils up from hell, and it raises
the
temperature.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
The Earth.
There's no science behind that whatsoever.
Absolutely. Ask Fred Phelps. He will back me up. Mm. And then Ted Haggard will back me up.
It is really interesting that the more religious fundamentalists you are, the more they will always say, but there's science behind it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say, isn't the whole point of faith is not to have to rely on any trouble, sticky stuff?
Well, like sure. Yeah, I mean, science can only go so far, and Jesus does the rest.
Right. When something makes sense, you can call on science. When it doesn't make sense, that's when, faith kicks in.
Okay, last but not least, our sincere thoughts and well wishes. What do you even say to the terrible...
Condolences?
Condolences to the people of Haiti in the island of Hispaniola. Mm-hmm. Which is what Haiti and the Dominican Republic form. It's like a.
It's two countries on one island.
It's like, what is it? It's like
North
Siamese
America
twins.
With Canada, United States, and Mexico.
Yeah, but it's like Siamese twins because they're like joined at the hip. And so what happens to Dominican? Probably this also impacted the people of Dominican
Republic.
They
say not. They say not.
It didn't.
No, not as much. No.
Well,
but at this point in time, we don't know.
We don't know. So, but our thoughts are with you. Last but not least, the Italian tranny prison.
Yeah, they're opening up a prison in Italy, just outside of Florence, for people that they consider that are transgendered, and they think it'll have about 30 people in it. Because there's often, like, when you're transgendered, what do you do in prison? Do you put them with the guys? If you still have, your original equipment, do you put them with the women because you identify your gender as female, and then so they don't know what to do with them. So they just said, we'll have a transgendered prison.
I can think of a couple of people that would be perfect for that.
I'd be like, do you want to take a trip to Italy?
Yeah, we'll pay for it on Feast of Fun Funds. So if you want to send your favorite tranny to the prison in Italy, please go to our website, feastoffun.com/iPhone, and make a contribution to our website development funds, to our maintenance fees. Believe it or not, it costs money to do this stuff.
Believe it or
and
not.
To our development of our future iPhone fund that will bring the righteousness of fabulous people like the Best Church of God into your iPhone 700 days a week.
Yes. What was it? 700 show.
Why is the 700 club called the 700 club? Do you guys know that?
I don't.
We're going to have to Wikipedia
definitely
that.
Definitely know that.
I think that happens because I was at 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's got to be a biblical reference. It's got to be a reference to some.
It was the 700 chosen people. 7 o'clock in the morning.
Do you have any ad copy? Or
I that... don't because we've already done our Audible
Oh,
ad.
Yeah. So buy your book on audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun.
And I want to remind people, too, to comment on the show, please visit the website, feastoffun.com, or you can use Twitter, include hashtag FOF1022 in this show, right? Or is it 23 now for today?
Oh, you want to know that?
Yeah. Do you need to know that? Yeah.
Do you need to know that?
Oh my God, I'm so turned on right now. Is there a robot I can stick my dick
robots
in?
Robots loving.
Please stick your dick in my mouth. Oh, yeah. I am horny.
I can do hell.
Because every time you type that,
stop.
The show number is 1123.
I was right. I remember.
1123. That's easy to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, there's a biblical. Think about it, people. Take a big, deep huff of that bong that you got in front of you and think about it. Hey, 1123.
Someone on Facebook, Salo on Facebook, wants to know if you are going to go on a mission. Are you guys going to travel anywhere?
Oh, well, we do, actually.
Oh, you do?
We are. Well, besides traveling to Sketchfest, which isn't very far.
No, that's not very far.
And traveling through cyberspace via our website.
Which is far.
Which is very far, all around the world, in fact. We are. We actually, next fall, I know it's a ways away, but we have a gig lined up in Springfield at
Illinois. You can have a tent revival.
Illinois at a GLBT festival down there. Oh. So we're putting that together now.
Where?
I will get you guys more details as soon as I know them.
I've always wanted for us to just create our own van and tour.
You guys need a tent and have a tent revival.
We need puppets.
Yeah, and just put the tent up.
Do you have
and...
Christian puppets in your show?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
I don't use it all.
We've got puppets of many different creeds.
Oh. if our Facebook friend would like to... open up a theater or a house to us. Yeah. We will gladly take our show on the road.
His name is Saulo Faraz. Let's see where he is. I'm sorry, I got the spinning ball.
I want to do
a
shout out to Alon Dawson, Taylor Church, Charles Kenneth, Joseph Gave. They've all been nominating. Nomination has closed in the bloggies to nominate your favorite blogs. Cross your fingers. Pray.
Pray. We all know prayer is effective.
It works, baby.
You heard the songs.
It works.
You're gonna
say something?
I was trying to figure out where Saulo was.
Oh,
that's kind of a weird name, isn't it? Saulo.
He's Brazilian.
Oh, he's. Do you guys want to go down to Brazil?
If he lives somewhere warm, we are there.
I heard the rats are like all over the place, and they're the color of Skittles.
Your good friend Jackie Hoffman said, "Don't go to Brazil" on the show. She said it's a cesspool. It is garbage. It's horrible.
Well.
That's what she said.
That's what she said about Chicago.
She's right about lots of things.
Because you actually, Jackie Hoffman was on a show in December.
The charming Jackie
promoting
Hoffman.
Her Christmas, her holiday special, and you were her musical.
I was the music director. Music director, bitch. Yeah, yes. I was her music director for the run of shows over at the Royal George there.
And it was a very popular show. You guys sold out and added three more shows.
Yeah, every soul sold out. Every show sold out.
What was your experience like? How was it?
You know, the shows were incredibly well received. I had a blast performing them. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's
be honest,
dry, acerbic, and in your face humor, but the gays and the Jews seem to love her.
Mike, you are just the most politically savvy person I've ever met.
I want to work again. I need to pay my mortgage. Listen,
and of course, she is an amazing talent, and she's a fantastic comedian and has wonderful skills and stuff. So I could imagine, I would imagine it would be a wonderful experience to work with her on that kind of level.
Hey, she was able to complain about being on the Addams Family on this show.
Yeah.
So?
She complained a lot about being in the Addams Family during her show, at the Royal Georgia.
Yeah, everybody was kind of surprised. But you know, after seeing the Addams Family, I said, "Well, you know what? If I had to do that role every day for a year, I'd probably resent it a little bit too."
Yeah, but then again, she's going to Broadway, so
that's true.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if
that's
gonna last though. That show. Have you seen it?
I saw it opening night.
Yeah,
it wasn't as bad as I was led to believe it was going to be. You know, with any of that kind of stuff, you have to have the right mindset, and you know what you're going in for.
Right, sure.
You know, you're not going to see Hedda Gabler. It's Broadway.
Second banana.
Ooh.
That's what it takes. One for the moment, one for the rakes. I am BB Newworth. What happened to me? Where did I go wrong? Why am I in this misery? Second banana.
Well, now she's never coming on the show.
Oh, BB. I don't think she ever intended to.
No.
she showed up here by accident.
My instinct with them was like they
wanted stars. They wanted to get
the celebrities were like, "Where's my
I want a paycheck."
They drove a nice, big, fat dump truck of money in front of me, and I could not say no. And so, we're still waiting. So, you got one more song for us?
We sure do. And this is actually going to be an entirely different character that Andrew plays.
Oh.
So, this is not the liturgical choreographer.
You're not the gay guy.
This is no longer Matthew Leppin.
Now you're the butch. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you guys on the show, and we're going to be leaving you with a special treat. Ladies and gentlemen, Feast of Fun is honored to have one of the best church's very own hit celebrities perform for us. You may have heard his music on WSH The Fish, or WJC The Cross, or WXYZ The Alphabet. His hit single, It Hurts, has made it all the way up to number 12 on the Christian pop charts. Pop charts. Please welcome Job. Woo!
It's Job.
Oh, I'm sorry. Job?
Yeah.
But it's spelled J-O-B. Like as in, you know, I need a man with a J-O-B. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. About 2 years after my parents were brutally murdered by a cult ritual in Utah, I started to think about things. Things like Jesus Christ, and things like bloody murder. And I decided that instead of making murder on strangers, I would put my heart into making music on people. And so I'd like to make this song on you right now. It's called It Hurts. My heart, my soul, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, it hurts so bad. My blood, Jesus, it hurts so bad. There's so many times it's not what it seems. When Satan, he visits inside of my dreams. And along comes Jesus and bears out his cross. He said, take me to heaven. I said, okay, boss. My heart, my soul, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, it hurts. It hurts so bad. My blood, Jesus, it hurts so bad. The devil will take you for an alcohol drink. Whisper, I dare you, while he gives you his devil wink. He pleases you once and then he pleases twice. Pardon me, Lucifer, this is Jesus Christ. Are you sure you want to stick a knife in my mom? Rip out her veins from her arms, bludgeon her kidneys. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, it hurts so bad. My blood, Jesus, it hurts so bad. It hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Oh, it really freaking hurts. It hurts, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts.